folks, and welcome to your outlet for outdoors and Western lifestyle news, The Bend Show. I am your host, Rebecca Wanner, aka Beck. We say this each week. We love hearing from all of you, your comments, stories, ideas, especially if you have ideas to maybe get us out of a bind. You can get a hold of us anytime, call or text 305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can always drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. Ride along, as always, my producer and co-host, Jeff Tigger Earhart. And if I sound a little excited, it's because I'm really not excited. We talked last week on the episode about having issues with mice in our Class C motorhome, asking for some help, which I do want to say thank you. We did hear from you, the audience, especially one listener, Dave. You're out of Utah, I believe. I appreciate you taking the time to send an email, and this is what he said. He has had similar mouse issues in his living quarters, horse trailer, and other RVs. Recently heard that shavings of Irish Spring soap outside the motorhome, especially around both sides of the tires, will help keep the mice away. He wished us good luck. Thank you, Dave, for sending that in.
We've tried that.
We've tried that in our shop as a whole, putting bars of Irish Spring soap around.
And we didn't put them, like he said, on both sides of the tires, just kind of surround the tires. We haven't done that.
No, but so we did put them in the back room of our shop. We actually have a what do you want to call it?
Just a storage room.
A storage room. And we've tried it there. And we did have mice in there the last time we tried it. But I like this idea of going around the tires, Tigger, because
we haven't tried it.
We haven't tried it with the Irish Spring soap, nor have we tried it with those very smelly, potpourri mice repellent packets either. So after the show, you may find me at a local hardware store buying up all kinds of things because we just came out of the motorhome.
We just checked the trap line is what we did.
I'm trying to breathe because I'm a little like, no.
Before we came on the air, I said, hey, let's go out and check the trap line, which consists of 15 roughly little sticky traps.
In a 30-foot camper.
Yep.
And back by our bedroom, besides the bed, Tigger came across two traps that each sticky trap had a mouse in it. And then as he was carrying them out the door, I happened to look down, you know, that first step when you go into your motorhome. There in the corner was this little guy, and I'm going, I think he's alive.
So we had two little guys and one big one. So three of them, literally, we just pulled out of the camper. So we've got 1 week until the 4th of July holiday. We're taking a few days off, going to go to the lake, be with friends and family. But now both of us kind of are wondering, maybe second guessing plans a little bit. Hotel room sounds pretty good to me at this point.
I know, except they're probably all booked where we're going. Mm-hmm. But right now we both got the heebie-jeebies. And anyway, that's the latest. Here we are being honest about what's happening in our place.
And if you've got more ideas of how to keep the mice at bay, please send us a text. What's that phone number again, or your email? Let us know.
305-900-2363. Again, that's 305-900-2363. Or you can drop an email to bendradioshow@gmail.com. I would love to hear from all of you. On that note, let's jump into some news of happier things, okay? This takes us to New Zealand, where a New Zealand fisherman is celebrating an extraordinary catch after battling a massive bluefin tuna and a hungry shark from the seat of his jet ski.
And these are nicer things we're going on to, that he was battling a shark?
Well, it's an outdoor show. You never know what we're going to have.
Continue. Fighting a massive tuna.
Matt Ringott was fishing off of a New Zealand bay on June 19th, just this last month here, when he hooked a bluefin tuna weighing more than 220 pounds. What followed was a 90-minute struggle as the powerful fish towed his Sea-Doo through increasingly rough seas. The man, he says, he brought the tuna alongside his jet ski several times, only to watch it dive back into deep water. Then a Mako shark joined the fight. The shark bit into the tuna and tore off its tail, a move anglers sometimes refer to as being called taxed by a predator. While the damage reduced the size of the catch, Ringgott says it almost made the tuna easier to control. But the shark wasn't finished. After the man finally brought the fish to the surface, the mako returned and briefly fought over the tuna before swimming away. The shark continued circling as Ringgott and his fishing partner, Brady Smith, tried to haul the oversized tuna fish aboard.
And they're on a jet ski, mind you.
Yes.
They're on wave runners.
And this proved, they said, to be impossible. The tuna was simply too large for the jet ski. The pair had to radio for assistance, and two nearby fishing boats responded. With their help, the anglers finally secured the giant tuna and brought the remarkable catch in. The man later shared a video highlights of his adventure on his YouTube channel. I'm going to put that on the BenShow.com website so you can take a look at this. Can you imagine being on a jet ski, catching a 220-pound fish regardless?
Now, I have laid into channel cats that were big enough that they did pull me on the kayak.
Oh.
That has happened to me before.
Okay, okay.
And this isn't the one that got away story, ha, ha, ha. No, that's legit, that the channel cat was big enough that it did pull me a little bit. Not like this, that is pulling me out into the ocean, but it was strong enough that it did pull me around a little bit.
You know, I'm getting excited because I guess we just got over the mice story. Now we're talking about some fishing. We're all going into the 4th of July holiday weekend. So I'm going to also throw this at y'all. If you have some crazy things happen over the 4th of July or this coming next coming weeks, we want to hear about it because these are just stories that are the ones that you always remember, wouldn't you say, Tigger?
Mm-hmm.
On that note, we're going to take a short break, crew. But when we come back, we're talking about getting ready for the 4th, such as, have you just bought your first griddle, wondering what to do? Well, we're going to talk about it. You're listening to The Ben Show, and we'll be back right after this.
RanchChannel.com, your farm and ranch network on demand. Bull sales, Western events, product information, right at your fingertips on the ultimate cowboy-friendly platform. Want to follow up-to-date markets? RanchChannel.com. No need to dig for information on all these different websites. It's all right there on RanchChannel.com. Y'all are loving it now, aren't you?
Are you looking for true price discovery for your feeder cattle? Look no further than Superior Livestock Auction. The Week in the Rockies sale is coming up July 6th through the 10th, followed by the Video Royale sale. To consign to the Video Royale, cattle need to be cataloged by July 10th and videos need to be submitted by July 17th. Again, July 10th for the catalog and July 17th for videos to consign to the Video Royale. Any questions, reach out to your Superior Livestock Auction rep or call Superior Livestock Customer Service at 800-422-2117. View the sale live on Dish Network Channel 997 and online at sla-tv.com.
If you're buying or selling cattle, make your first stop livestockmarket.com. Bred cows, heifers, pairs, bulls and frozen genetics, even feeder calves. You'll find them all at livestockmarket.com. Livestock Market features private treaty sales, online auctions, and live production sale bidding. You'll also find horses, sheep, goats, and hay. Check out the free Livestock Market magazine wherever you pick up Tractor House and download the Livestock Market mobile app today.
Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. With the camping going on, how many of you are now finally pulling the trigger and buying that first griddle?
They've been watching them, and they're on sale.
For years, right? Griddles have been around now for a couple of years. You finally saved up. You're like, I'm going to join the rest of the crowd.
You found the one you wanted.
Tigger, what is one of those things that folks need to know when they first pull out, you know, their griddle?
One of those things or okay. Multiple things?
Well, seasoning. I know I'm going to throw it out there. A lot of people don't realize maybe you have to season it correctly. Do you have any
tips believe
for
in
that?
Yeah, I totally believe in if you get, I'm going to throw cast iron and Dutch ovens in there too. You
100%.
Buy them, it's griddle the same way. You can grab it and cook on it and use it right away. Absolutely, 100%. If that's what you want to do, go for it. In my opinion, which has been more failure than success, that you will want to season it first. I do that all the time. And any new cast iron that we get, season it first. Griddle, same situation. Season it before you use it.
Well, and on that note, buy yourself some time, because the seasoning part of a griddle for the first time isn't really fast. You got to heat it up.
I mean, you do. You take it all the way up. You heat it up. You turn all your burners on as high as they will go. Get it awfully darn hot. And then turn your heat off. Put your oil on that you're using. Make sure that you're using an oil that has a very, very high temperature to it, a high cooking temperature, because that needs to bake into the griddle top, the cast iron top, the Dutch oven, if you will, and then just let it cool down naturally. Now it's ready to go for your first time when you do use it for cooking, which, by the way, the first time that you use it, make sure you do need to keep using oil, though. And I know some people get confused, and I know a lot of you are saying, oh, come on, this is old hat. Remember, you started somewhere, too, and you made these mistakes. So the first time you use it, after it's seasoned properly, make sure that you're always using oil all the time. And some people forget that. They assume because it's seasoned, I don't need to use oil anymore. That's not the case. You need to use it all the time.
Well, in thinking about not just oil, there's another product you really like.
Oh, Bacon Up.
Bacon Up Grease, right?
I love that stuff. It's called Bacon Up Bacon Grease. It's just spelled bacon, B-A-C-O-N-U-P. Bacon Up Bacon Grease. It comes in a little Tupperware container.
White container with a red lid.
Yep, little white container with a red lid, yes. And you can find it at any grocery store. I really like to use that because it has a high cooking temperature. And if you're not making bacon per se, and you're using that bacon grease to fry your eggs or whatever else you're making, but you really kind of like that bacon flavor, perfect.
All right, the name of the product one more time,
Bacon Up Bacon Grease.
There you have it. And they are not a sponsor of the show whatsoever. This is a tried and true.
Here's the other thing I'm going to say that we have learned more times than not is you got to make sure that you have your griddle out of the wind. And I'm talking out of the breeze, because just the slightest little breeze will dissipate your heat and you will not get as much heat on that griddle that you need. You know, like if you're making smash burgers, that just takes a couple minutes to make a smash burger if you have it the proper heat that you're using. But if you're out in the breeze, it will take forever to get your food done, and you're not going to get it done the way that you want. So that's the other thing I'm going to say is if you can put this out of the wind, or maybe some of you are maybe fixing to go to the National High School Rodeo Finals, right? And you're going to be cooking and setting something up in the horse trailer to cook. That's actually a great idea.
We've done that many times.
Put our little griddle on a table in the horse trailer just to get out of the wind, and that worked really, really well.
Speaking of, also, though, there's some other tips and tricks we've learned. For example, you might notice that it's hard to find a flat surface set your griddle, especially if they're the smaller, like the 17 or 22 inch ones that just sit on a picnic table or something like that. And you ended up buying...
They're little wedges. They look like shims. They're just small little rubber shims. And we use that to level our griddle. And that was game changing because, you know, that little lip that's on your griddle, the sides that come up, this happens to everybody. Here's another little tip for you. You're making breakfast for the whole crew camping, right? And you got your scrambled eggs and you're ready to pour them on your griddle. This happens every time. You pour your eggs in way too fast. Your griddle isn't level and all of your scrambled egg yolks run everywhere. I did that too. It's happened to all of us. So here's a little trick. Number one, buy those little wedges so you can keep your griddle level.
And they're cheap, only a couple bucks.
Oh, they're only a couple bucks on Amazon. You can get a pack of 12 for like 10 bucks or something like that. And then the other thing, when you're making your eggs, pour very slowly onto your griddle top, because if you are unlevel, where do they want to run? Out the catch trap in the back, right? That's where all of your eggs want to run. So pour it very slowly. And I've even made like a little dome. So you pour a few eggs and then you scrape them away and they start solidifying. And then you pour the rest of your eggs inside of that little volcano, that little dome. That also keeps your eggs from running all over your griddle.
Now, speaking of breakfast foods, though, you have a tip, too, because I love bacon on the griddle. That's just one of my favorites, but there's a different way of doing it.
Totally different. I discovered this just recently. Yeah, totally different. When you throw your bacon on, let me back up here a little bit, too. In your meal preparation, just kind of make a little game plan before you go about it. Get all of your food together, put it in your little prep area so you aren't running back and forth inside the camper and trying to find cheese and all this stuff. Have everything together, have kind of a game plan, and know how long food takes to cook. And obviously the food that takes the longest, you put it on the first, right? I mean, that makes sense. Bacon, put it on an absolutely cold griddle. Don't even turn it on yet. Throw the bacon on. Then turn your burners up because it will lay flat. If you put your bacon on a hot surface, it will curl up.
Oh, aha! Look at that.
So if you're using bacon on like sandwiches or something like that. Now, here's the other thing on different heat sources or heat temperatures on your griddle. If you are unsure which burners are hot and which ones are colder, there's different temperature ratings on your different burners. Number one, you can have a temp gun and just double check. Like, yes, this is the burner on the left is the one that is the coolest or whatever the case is. Go to Amazon, get a little wire rack that just sits above the griddle and just set it on the griddle and lay your bacon on there. It'll stay warm, but you get it off the cooking top. Same way with biscuits
or pancakes,
pancakes or buns for your smash burgers or something like that, that you want to keep them warm, but you want to not burn them and get them off that griddle top. Put them on that little cooking rack. Amazing.
Here's another tip I'm going to throw at you all. And this is one I started doing for Tigger because of going in and out of the house or in and out of the camper so many times, flies and such. And that is to get yourself a shower caddy. That's actually what I ended up having to get us to fit all of the stuff we wanted, which is big enough so it held our paper plates, it held our spatulas, it held the oil bottle. You know, you get those bottles that are clear and you can fill them with whatever you need. We always have one full of oil, but then mm-hmm. we have another one filled with water because you never use soap on
Correct.
Your griddle.
Correct.
But just to have all of those utensils in that caddy, it's a game changer. So when you
Very
go out the
handy.
Door... Boom, you've got everything you need and you're not coming in and out and bringing all the flies in.
So my last tip when it comes to cooking, remember that when you are using that griddle top and you're preparing all the different foods, say you've got fried rice and you're actually making kind of a chicken fried rice and you're making, you know, kind of a stir fry or
now
something like
hungry.
That. Everybody's getting hungry. Remember when you are moving your food over to the cooling area, to scrape that area clean right away and then use more fresh oil. That's the other key, because I know a lot of people, they just, well, we're just going to throw on and go. And that's okay if you want to do that. It does help, or I should say it has helped us in the cleaning process, that after you're done, say, with your bacon, and if you're going to use some of that bacon grease, great, scrape it over in the area you're going to cook your eggs, and then clean that area right away. Scrape it off, push everything into the trap in the back, and then if you're frying onions or whatever you're cooking, use some more fresh oil immediately. That makes the cleanup so much easier, and it helps so that your food doesn't stick in case you don't have it seasoned just quite the way that you want it.
Those are some great tips.
Just kind of some tips that we've learned along the way that has made it a whole lot more fun, because everybody loves eating off of a griddle and out of cast iron. Nobody likes the cleanup. So we've tried to make it as easy as we can, some of these steps, so that now using the griddle is part of our routine of when we just cook supper and lunch every day right here.
Perfect. I loved all these tips and tricks. And if you have any tips and tricks to add in, again, feel free to reach out to us. That email.
Gadgets too, by the way.
Oh, I love gadgets.
Must have gadgets.
All right. Call or text us at 305-900-2363 or email bendradioshow@gmail.com. The show is not over. We're just going to take a quick break. We've got more of The Bend Show right after this. What if your bull selection could help put more money in your pocket? At Jorgensen Land and Cattle, every bull is bred and tested for feed efficiency, a trait that can help you maximize production and profitability. When you lease or buy from Jorgensen Land and Cattle, you'll benefit from superior genetics, proven sire lines, and support from a team with over 60 years of experience. Our breeding program was built to help commercial cattle producers develop better cow herds and stronger feeder calves. Head to JorgensenFarms.com and follow us on Facebook. Jorgensen Land and Cattle, one of the nation's largest seed stock providers.
Welcome to Sire Buyer, a place where we connect cattlemen. The nation's number one destination for buying and selling breeding genetics. In-depth reviews and upbeat news on your favorite sires. Sire Buyer features the top Angus bulls across the country. Be sure to sign up to receive your directory by emailing info@sirebuyer.com. If you're looking for the best place in breeding genetics, you've just found it.
Grass changes, weather changes, and your cattle's nutritional needs change right along with it. But don't let your mineral program fall behind. Synergy with TRT from Westway Feed Products is built for real pasture conditions, helping support consistent intake, improved forage utilization, and more predictable herd performance. It's a smarter liquid mineral solution for beef cattle on pasture. Ask for Synergy with TRT liquid mineral supplement from Westway Feed Products. Welcome back to The Ben Show. I'm your host, Rebecca Wanner, a.k.a. Beck, and Jeff Tigger Earhart is in the co-host chair. Still excited about camping and everything that's going on, but I wanted to bring this up to y'all, and this is a little tip, all right? You head into the lake. A lot of times, what is one of those items we have with us, no matter if we have a pocket for it or not, is a cell phone, right? Nobody goes anywhere without their smartphone. I'm going to tell you right now, I've learned from experience, it only costs a couple dollars, but get yourself one of those protectors. It's a little pocket. You just search waterproof cell phone protector, and it comes with a cord, goes around your neck. You put your phone in there, and it's safe. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is not just because you're near the lake or near some water.
Are you bringing up when I tipped over in the kayak?
No, I'm not,
okay,
actually.
Nobody tipped over in no kayak ever.
I'm bringing this up here. Okay, you know parks, they have what are called vaulted toilets, right? You know what I'm talking about. There's no flushing toilets. You see a bathroom, you open the door, that's a hole in the ground and a seat on it, right?
That's called a vaulted toilet?
That's called a vaulted toilet.
Okay.
Well, this just recently happened to a camper last week out in California. It wasn't his phone, but he had his sunglasses hooked in a pocket and they fell in the vaulted toilet. And apparently they were an expensive pair of sunglasses.
He did.
This gentleman reached in to try and get his sunglasses out of that sewage, fell into the vaulted toilet. I'm not even making this up, okay? And luckily somebody was coming by, but he was stuck in there for like 15 minutes.
I want to say things, but we'd have to say.
He was up past his waist in it, okay? And so
he fell in the toilet.
Yes, he fell in. And I've started looking into this, and this is not the first time that somebody has fallen into a vaulted toilet.
How can you fall in the toilet?
Well, think about it. He's reaching over, arm down in there, trying to grab his sunglasses.
Who would want to do that, babe?
Well, there was a gal.
I'm sorry. I don't know what possession you have, but I am not going to reach in said toilet after said possession.
There was a gal last year, apparently. I'm not going to say where she was at, but regardless, nobody I know. Okay, that disclaimer as well. But
so then you can say where it was.
Her phone did fall in, and she went in after it too, bending
and
thinking,
she fell in.
Yes, and it took them a lot longer to get her out. But just think about that. When you're using those vaulted toilets, now all of us, every time we drive by one, we're going to be first going, do I really need to go that bad? And then secondly, just leave all that stuff right outside the door. I mean, nobody's going to go steal it, okay? Just leave your phone,
the
your
stuff
sunglasses,
you're talking
your
about,
wallet.
Okay, that's the stuff you're talking about leaving outside the door, right?
Yes, that is the stuff. I just felt like this was a good PSA, okay?
It was something.
This is the other thing I'm going to bring up, because so much of the country is in a drought area, but then there's other areas that aren't. It's fireworks season, right? All of us are excited. We want to see our money get burned up in the sky and the sparks. Love the fireworks. But be on alert and be double checking if those campsite areas are allowing fireworks, excuse me. A lot of times if they do allow them, they're usually only allow you to light them off in a certain area.
Or maybe up to a certain time at night.
But then the other thing is as you're making your travel plans, be checking with the local authorities, because remember, a fire ban could go into effect in a matter of hours. It's not like it's planned, okay? So you got to keep double checking. Are we allowed to have a campfire? Are we allowed to have fireworks?
That's a good point, because there's a lot of people that have made plans long time ago, actually, for celebrating the 250th this year.
Yes.
And going to a certain destination in hopes of having the 4th of July of a lifetime, really. And then all of a sudden, there could be a burn ban or something like that. That's actually a very good point, just to stay on top of that. And knowing if and when you can shoot off fireworks. Good point, babe.
There you have it. Some tips and tricks, do's and don'ts to get ready for next week and next weekend. Start planning now for a fantastic celebration of our country's 250th anniversary. We're going to call this show wrapped for this week, folks. Remember to keep sending in any of those questions or tips you might have for us. That phone number you can call or text anytime, 305-900-2363. Again, 305-900-2363. Or you can always email benradioshow@gmail.com. And if you missed part of this show or want to hear past episodes, you can find them all on the website, thebenshow.com. Finally, a big thanks to all of you listeners out there that came along. And whether you're coming or going today, stay with us as we ranch it up. And remember to keep up with me back all week long by following The Bend on Facebook and on Instagram at The Bend Show. This is Rebecca Warner. Catch back if you can next week on The Bend.